You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen, and in studio, as usual, we have Paul, our engineer. Paul, how are you today?
Cold, frozen here. Anytime it goes below about 60, I think I'm going to die here in California.
All right. Well, we'll hope to warm you up here a little bit now. Also in studio today, we have a very special guest, Rick Sorelli, president of RTC Mortgage Corporation. Rick, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Bart.
Good. So, Rick, you know I've known you for a while, so I'm going to have to give you a little bit of a hard time. That's how we're going to start the show today.
You could have given me a little more warning, but all right. I'll take it.
So I know that your average daily commute is roughly a mile and a half since you do everything in Laguna Beach. And this was a bit, you know, I don't know, maybe a 15-minute drive. So do you have enough water? Did you have enough food? Are you all good? Are you hydrated?
Yes, I'm feeling fine. I'm ready for you. Yeah, my normal commute's about a mile and a half. That's round trip,
by the way. Round trip, I thought. Yeah. Exactly. So, all right, let's get down to business here. So we have a great subject today, Rick. You and I have talked over the last couple of years about the power of reverse mortgages. We'll talk both, you know, what the history has been and so forth. But I think it's really important for our listeners to know a little bit about you. You've been in the business a while, so why don't you give us a little background on yourself, your business, how you got to where you are today?
Sure. I've been in the mortgage business now for 42 years, Bart. Started out a long time ago in the corporate world as a loan officer, graduated to manager and branch manager and regional and national manager of some of the bigger mortgage companies. But about 18 years ago, I moved to Laguna Beach and decided I was going to open up my own business. And so I did. And so I founded RTC Mortgage Corporation then, which was like 2001.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that ever since. And I do all types of mortgages, both residential and commercial. And more recently, I specialize a lot more in reverse mortgages, but I still do all types of real estate financing.
Great. Yeah, there's a lot to cover there, and maybe probably in different episodes, and we'll certainly focus today on reverse mortgages, but I know you have a lot more knowledge and background. You picked a great place to land, Laguna Beach, so we both know that.
Agreed.
So let's just kind of dive into reverse mortgages. There's certainly a lot of myths, I think, or negative stigma that comes with it. Some people only know them as what, you know, Robert Wagner has to say about them these days on the TV commercials. So tell us a little bit, tell the audience about maybe dispelling some of this negative stigma.
Be happy to. The most common myth that I hear all the time, and it is a myth, and I don't think it ever was the truth, but the most common misperception of the program at all is so many people still think that the bank will eventually own their property and that all their equity will be consumed. And that's never been the case, and it's certainly not the case now. A reverse mortgage only entitles someone to a portion of their equity. The amount they are able to receive is based on a combination of the property value, whether or not they have a mortgage now and how large that mortgage is, and most importantly, it's based on their age. But no matter how old they are or how much they owe, they can never get as much as the value of the property. There's always a large cushion remaining in the equity to absorb any increase in principal value over the time of the course of the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that you have to assume, too, more cases than not, the property will also appreciate in value, thereby maintaining that equity spread between the value of the property and the amount that it's owed.
Of course, of course. You mentioned age. So what's the earliest age one could do one now? What's the prime age, I would say?
The earliest age is 62. There's no maximum age, but the older you are, the more money you're able to receive from a reverse mortgage. And the amount you receive is really based on actuarial tables. Naturally, the older you are, the shorter your lifespan will be. And because the interest on these loans accrues over time, the older you are, the shorter period of time there might be for the loan to accrue additional interest.
Okay. All right. Anything else under the kind of the negative stigma that you can think of?
Not really. I mean, the thing I hear over and over from people, like I said already, is they think the banks eventually can own their property, and that's not the case. Heirs are often afraid that they're going to lose their inheritance, and that's a big issue.
Right.
But again, it's really unfounded. If you take the opposite of it, in other words, if a borrower doesn't take a reverse mortgage, And let's assume they don't have a lot of money to live on the rest of their life. If they did, they wouldn't get a mortgage in the first place.
Sure,
right? So if they didn't have enough mortgage, enough reserves, let's call it, and they didn't get a reverse mortgage, they still have to live. They're going to have to either pay a mortgage or pay rent. They're going to have to draw from the savings if they have savings. And at the end of time, they're probably going to come out the same, whether they took a reverse mortgage or whether they depleted their savings or paid rent and lived without enough income to support themselves.
Right. And, you know, you and I have worked on a couple of cases like that where at the end of the calculation, it was just that. So very interesting and good use of a tool. How about educating listeners on just some of the basics of reverse mortgages, features, benefits, et cetera?
Certainly. There's two main programs to the reverse mortgages. One is the standard FHA program. This is FHA stands for the Federal Housing Administration, which is a division of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, known as HUD. And these loans are insured by the federal government. They're insuring the lender in case of default, but they're also really insuring the borrower that if, by some chance, the worst that could happen and that the mortgage balance exceeds the value of the house at the end of their lifetime, the borrower would never be responsible for any shortage. Same goes for their heirs. If the borrower passes away and their children or anyone else inherits it, even if it were to be upside down, the heirs would never be responsible for that shortage. So that's the standard FHA program. And then there's also a jumbo version of the program that enables people to borrow as much as $4 million on a reverse mortgage. But by far the most common version of the program is that FHA-insured program. And the program is basically divided into two parts. You have an option to take as much money as you're eligible for within the first 1 or 2 years, or you can take a portion of it, and the portion that you do not use sits in a line of credit that actually gains in value over time. So the strategy there is to, if you don't need all the money initially, don't take it. The portion you don't take actually grows in value over time.
Okay, okay. And that works both in the FHA and in the jumbo?
No, that's the FHA program only. The jumbo program, you have to take all the money up front.
Oh,
whatever
you're
eligible for, you take and you're done.
Okay, all right. And then just out of curiosity, so the amount that's in basically the line of credit in the FHA, does it earn more or less than what the clients are being charged?
It's essentially the same.
Okay.
In most cases, there's an adjustable rate version and a fixed rate version of the FHA program, and most people will choose the adjustable rate version because there are advantages to it. If they do, whatever that interest rate is, it'll change either monthly or annually, depending on which version of the adjustable program they choose, and the interest that they accrue at. For the portion they used is equal to the interest rate that they'll earn on the unused portion of the proceeds.
Okay.
The only difference is there's a small amount each year for the FHA mortgage insurance premium that gets tacked on. But aside from that, it's almost a wash.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's elaborate a little bit more on the basics. So I'm dealing with a client and we decide, hey, this looks like it's a viable option. What's kind of the process? First thing they do is what, and then what does that look like?
The very first step required by the government is that they receive counseling. And the FHA has approved various counselors throughout the country. And the very first step is for the borrower to make an appointment to have that counseling session. In most cases, it's by telephone. They can do it in person, but almost all do it by phone. It takes anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes, and the purpose of it is to just make sure that the borrower has a reasonably good understanding of how the program works, what their options might be if they have any, and just make sure they're aware of the program, the pluses, the minuses, and how it might impact them.
Okay. And then what?
After that, by California law, there's a mandatory 7-day cooling-off period. So 7 days passes after the counseling, and then once that period passes, then we can order the property appraisal, open escrow, get a title report, and obtain the borrower's documentation so we can start the full process of the loan. Mm-hmm. And that process takes maybe another 30 days or so, depending on how quickly we can obtain the information from the borrower, how long the appraisal takes, and so forth.
Is it any harder, easier than a conventional loan?
No. In fact, I'd say, if anything, it's probably easier because to qualify, you don't have to qualify to nearly the stringent qualification guidelines of a standard traditional, what we call it now, a forward mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Forward, right. Okay. And then at the end, they're approved, obviously, at some point. Mm-hmm. And then the borrower has the option of, depending on the type of loan, either, again, to take the money up front, and they just waive any more house payments, right? So,
correct. The beauty of the program is you never have to make a house payment again.
Yeah.
So, again, depending on the portion of the proceeds that they utilize, they'll accrue interest owed eventually on that, and it's offset in large part by the interest that they might earn on the line of credit portion that they do not use. That line of credit can be accessed over time in a variety of ways. You can take a set amount each month. You can just take a little bit here and there as you need it without any regular schedule. You can set it up so you receive a set amount over a certain period of time. Most people just choose to let it sit there and take it as needed. There's no need to take more than you need, but at the same time, everybody's situation's a little bit different. And also want to add to that, the amount you could take up front, and this is one of the safeguards built into the program over the more recent years, you're only eligible to take 60% of the amount you're eligible for in the first year.
Okay.
The only exception to that is if you owe more than 60% in your current mortgage. We have to lend them enough, of course, to pay off that mortgage. But if they don't owe more than that, 60% is all they can take in the first year. After that, they can take the balance of the proceeds they're eligible mm-hmm. for, or again, set it up so they receive so much monthly or periodically, whoever they want to take it.
And what's the thinking behind that, the 60%?
I think it's to protect people from taking all the money up front and not spending it wisely. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the pitfalls of the earlier versions of the program. Earlier versions allowed you to take all the money. In fact, it encouraged you to take all the money up front at the time of closing. And a lot of those types of borrowers were the type that had exhausted all other avenues. They had virtually no money left.
Yeah.
Probably mismanaged their money their entire lifetime, don't have any savings or retirement funds to draw from, so they just took all the money, and of course that would run out after a short period of time, too.
Yeah, okay.
If that was your pattern throughout lifetime, it's not going to change when you're 60, 70, 80 years old, right? So that was the strategy behind it. Don't let them take it all.
Okay.
Make sure they can manage it, keep controls of it, and if they don't take it all, they're encouraged not to by the fact that that line of credit balance grows over time. So you have more later on to use.
Okay. So assume we have a husband and wife borrower. What happens, let's just say one of the spouses dies a couple years into the program?
Well, if one of the spouses dies, basically nothing happens. The other spouse is entitled to the program under the same benefits, the same amount, the same everything.
Okay, so it just rolls.
Okay, it just rolls. Okay?
Yeah.
The loan does not become due until the last surviving spouse passes on.
Okay. And then how much time after the last surviving spouse passes does it all basically terminate and levelize, mm-hmm. I guess?
They have up to 1 year after the last surviving spouse passes.
Okay.
The loan terms are written such that you have 6 months, and then they can apply, the heirs, that is, can apply for 2-3-month extensions. And as long as they're acting in good faith to market the property, if they chose to sell it, or they also have the right to refinance it and keep it, and if they're acting in good faith to do that, they can easily obtain those extensions.
Okay.
If not, at the end of 1 year, time's up, then it's time to get paid off.
That seems like a reasonable amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a really quick break here. We'll be back in a moment.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
All right, back to Bart and his guest.
All right, Rick, so that's been really good information already. I think it'd be helpful for the listeners if we had some sort of like real-life example. And so maybe let's do one that's just a standard FHA and then one's a jumbo. So I'll let you pick the numbers to make it easy for you.
Sure. I'll talk about one that I just dealt with this morning. I had some clients in my office just this morning, so those numbers are still fresh in my mind. All right. Makes it easy on me. This particular client has a house in Laguna Beach. It's worth quite a bit. It's actually worth about $2
million. Okay.
But her situation is she's 87 years old. Doesn't necessarily need a lot of money right now. She's got a few small debts, you know, maybe $10,000 worth is all. But, you know, she has a small Social Security check of $700 a month, and it's just not enough to live on.
Yeah.
She's also up in years. She has two sons that live overseas, wants to go visit them before she passes, and is anxious to do that, needs the money to do it. She has no savings to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
So, in her case, she was eligible for a reverse mortgage that and we were talking a standard FHA program, which is the better one for her, even though her house is worth so much more. So she was eligible for, well, I'll just round off the numbers, roughly $400,000.
Perfect.
Okay? Of that, she really only needs about $25,000 of it right now to pay off some debt, travel to see her kids one last time, probably, and live a little bit more comfortably in her later years. So she's going to take only $25,000 of it right now. The other $375,000 that she's eligible for will sit in that line of credit, and that'll grow in value over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that I met with her son this morning at the same time I met with her. So obviously he's one of the heirs to the to the property, and he was greatly relieved to find out that when we ran the math and factored in a little bit of appreciation over time for the property value, figured out how much that $25,000 that she initially takes will increase over time. Maybe she'll need to draw a little bit more from the line of credit, but then we also factored in what would be the value of that line of credit 1 year, 5 years, even 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And everybody was very comfortable with the numbers once they saw them.
Yeah. Okay.
A jumbo version of the program, this is one of my favorite examples. I did one about a year or two ago. A gentleman came to me. He had a house in Laguna Beach worth about, it actually appraised for $3.2 million. He took out a reverse mortgage several years earlier, and it had grown in value up to about $750,000, let's call it. Now, he's 86 years old at the time, had no money left over, and naturally, and he was in very good health.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those guys who might live to be 100. So he's wondering, how am I going to afford to do that?
Yeah.
And so what we did is a jumbo mortgage for him. His eligible proceeds were about $1.6 million. Out of that, we paid off the $750 that he owed on the mortgage.
Okay.
And he walked away with a check for $700,000+, which, you know, will probably take him to the finish line.
Yeah.
And he was very happy with that.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of utilizing the jumbo program to someone's advantage.
And you're finding in most cases the heirs, like you mentioned with the son on the previous example, they're happy with what they're seeing as far as the results?
They're usually happy if I could sit down with them or explain to them how it really works.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're afraid of losing their inheritance.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, like I said earlier, you're going to lose it one way or the other if the parents don't take it out. If they have no other resources and they don't take out a reverse mortgage, what are their options? They're probably going to have to sell the house, live off the equity anyway, which is no different than living off the equity on a reverse mortgage. Yeah. Probably have to pay rent wherever they go.
Or live with the kids.
Or move in with the kids. And once I give them that as an option, they say, okay, Mom, where do we sign? Let's do it.
Going back again to that first one, so one option might have been for her, and I think I know the answer, is maybe a HELOC, right, or a line of credit against the house. I think the answer to that, I'm going to answer before you do, is then she would have to make payments to that, right, versus no payments.
Yes, there's it's a lot of people think that initially, why don't I just get a HELOC, which is a home equity line of credit. The problem with that is, one, you still have to qualify in a traditional manner for a home equity line of credit. You have to make just as much money to qualify for that as you do for a forward mortgage.
Okay.
Secondly, you have to make payments on it.
Okay? Yeah.
The reverse mortgage, you make no payments.
Right.
Okay. Thirdly, the line of credit is only used as a line of credit for 10 years. After 10 years, you have to start paying back the principal and the interest.
That's right.
And you only have 15 or 20 years remaining to do that. So the payments are extremely high after the first 10 years.
Yeah.
For that first 10 years, you can pay interest only. So when you draw that comparison between the HELOC and the reverse mortgage, the reverse mortgage has no payments. It lasts indefinitely. And the qualifying is much, much simpler than it would be for a home equity line of credit.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. So how has the program improved over the last few years?
Well, there's been a lot of safeguards built into the program. This is where it really has changed. A few years ago, again, this is for the standard FHA home equity conversion mortgage, the one that you see advertised all the time, the one that most people take. And there's several safeguards that have been built in to protect the borrower. For one, there's a required counseling session that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
That's to make sure the borrower understands the program, is not being coerced or forced into taking the money and investing it in something that would benefit the financial advisor instead of the borrower. Secondly, there's now a financial assessment requirement. It's not underwriting like you might expect from a traditional mortgage, but we have to make sure they do have enough money to pay for the property taxes, the homeowner's insurance, and the homeowner association dues if they live in, say, a condominium or someplace with an HOA. And even if they didn't have enough to pay for that, the FHA version of the program has what's called a loan expectancy set aside, where they will set aside some of the money that the borrower might otherwise have been eligible to take, and the lender will actually pay the taxes and insurance in the future. So it really protects them against foreclosure for failure to pay taxes and insurance. That was one of the biggest problems with the earlier versions of the program.
Yeah.
People would spend all the money and then they still couldn't afford to pay their taxes or insurance. Then the other couple of other features of the newer version of the program is that you cannot take all the money at once when you close. You can only take that 60% limit that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
Sometimes you can get 10% more than that, but that's all in the first year. And then lastly, the line of credit grows in value. So if you do run out of money initially, the line of credit, if you didn't use all your money, is growing in value, so there's more money available for the borrower at a future time.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I understand something you said, one of your earlier points. There is built-in protection for property tax, homeowners association, et cetera. You don't even get that in a forward mortgage. You could have a forward mortgage and lose your house for not paying that.
Right. You can even have no mortgage at all. But if you don't pay your property taxes or your HOA dues, you could still be foreclosed on.
Yeah.
So it's no worse with a reverse mortgage than it is with a forward mortgage, or it is with no mortgage at all.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of people forget that. That point. They overlook it or just assume that it's a negative feature to the reverse mortgage, but it's not unique to that. It's not unique at all. It applies to everybody.
Okay. All right. So, Rick, when you first came to the office and wanted to talk about the reverse mortgage, and I thought, well, you know, like most things, I'm quite cynical in the beginning, and I was kind of part of the herd that had negative connotation. But one of the things that really struck me was you had some ideas on how this is used not just for people who, quote unquote, need money to get by, but it's really a good planning tool for higher net worth, both for estate planning and, you know, higher net worth. You want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. I've got a great example of that. My next-door office neighbor is an estate planning attorney, and she deals with a lot of high-end clientele, mostly in Laguna Beach and other high, expensive markets. And she refers clients to me on occasion, and she referred someone to me not long ago that was in that very situation, had a very high net worth, mostly in real estate, well over $5-6 million, has three daughters that he wanted to help each of the three buy a house, and they couldn't afford to buy on their own, and he didn't want to create a taxable event where he would withdraw money from, say, his investments.
Sure, sure.
Of which he had many.
Yeah.
So what we did in his case is we got a jumbo reverse mortgage, took out $750,000. He gave $250,000 to each of his three children to help them buy a house.
Okay.
And it was a non-taxable event for him. No tax due.
Yeah.
Because he's just using his equity.
Yeah.
So no tax, no estate tax, no no capital gains tax.
No gift tax,
either.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great tool.
Yeah.
Very
it worked
good.
Very well. And there's a gentleman that really didn't need the money.
Yeah.
Had plenty of means, but you know, his kids didn't want to have to wait for him to pass before they could have some benefits. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that's one of many, so that you and I need to get it back together and talk about how
Yeah, we do. There's no two stories alike.
Yeah.
Everybody is very unique, and I spend a lot of time up front with each of my clients to make sure I've got the full financial picture so I can recommend the best product for them.
Yeah, great, great. Well, Rick, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio with me today. I now have the honor of asking you my final thought question. So please share with us your ultimate lesson learned over your tenure as a real estate mortgage professional.
Well, I think the most important thing is to take your time and educate the borrowers. I really feel like that's where so many lenders fail, is they don't educate the borrowers. Sure, the reverse mortgage is a unique program, and it takes a little bit more education, more upfront time. But first-time home buyers often don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah.
Even second and third time buyers don't know what they're doing. There's been a lot of changes in the industry. There's a lot of little landmines or pitfalls you can get trapped into. And educating the borrower, I think, to me is the most important thing I can do. And I try to spend more time up front doing that. Present all the facts, explain the details, and be patient and honest with the clients, and I think that's where so many others don't do it properly.
I think a great lesson for you, very relevant in most of our financial service industry, so very, very good. Rick, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay. All right. All right, Rick, thanks again for joining us in studio today. And for those of you who want to learn more about Rick and RTC Mortgage, visit him at www.rtcmortgage.com. Thank you so much to everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to seeing you back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.